goes.
Who's the most fun to drink with of the Republican lawmakers?
So it goes.
Todd also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
You can always let us know if you are drinking with lawmakers at 844-967-2789.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Happy Election Day. I would love to hear from you if you have already voted. Leave me a comment in the live stream, which just went live. So we missed the first hour, but on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, anyone watching there, welcome to today's election edition. If you voted already, give us a shout. If you're encouraging other people to vote, give us a shout. If you have we want to see your stickers.
Yes.
We want to see everything celebrating voting. 844-967-2789. If you tag As Goes Wisconsin on any social media platform with your picture of your I voted sticker, I will retweet, share, boost, all of the things.
All the things.
I will celebrate you if you want to share your celebration of democracy and voting today, because, man, it's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a big one. 844-967-2789. You can text that number. You can call that number. Texter from the 920. You were talking, Kristen, about why today is such a big day, obviously because of our Supreme Court race in the 8th Senate District here in Wisconsin. Of course, the former president getting indicted in New York. But the 920 says another thing that makes today big is that NATO just added Finland in the last hour or so.
That is a very big
deal.
Also, did you know that their prime minister, the party lost by 1%, and so the 37-year-old prime minister who is... you know, got in, you know, had work boundaries, and she, during COVID, she went out and left her work phone at work. So she will no longer be prime minister. But she had a very gracious exit speech as far as this is what democracy looks like. But I read that this morning as well, that she, big day for Finland, and that they both join NATO, and also they're going to have a change in the majority party. But other big news, obviously Trump's indictment, our election, Finland joining NATO, and I do think this is getting covered, and I just don't know if it's breaking through the noise of
everything else,
election and everything else. Because, like, you know, and I have my newsletters that I read every morning, and there's usually kind of between the three or four that I read for national news, the stories overlap, and there was only a couple, not even full paragraphs, but like acknowledgments that this is even happening in Tennessee versus. Again, we know how much information I usually get from TikTok, specifically an account called Under the Desk News, which does an incredible job doing independent reporting, who brought this to my attention yesterday of just the absolute chaos going on in Tennessee. And do we have the one that is, there's a couple bleeps in it?
I did not get the one with a couple bleeps in it.
Oh, okay. Then never mind. they basically, in their video... said, stop talking about Trump's effing plane and pay attention to what's happening in Tennessee, because let's play the one where she explains a little bit, at least what's happened so far to get us to this point.
There is an emergency crisis of democracy happening in the state of Tennessee right now. In the wake of the death of six people at the Covenant School in Tennessee, thousands of student protesters have flooded the Capitol, holding protests demanding gun control and safer schools. The protests have been entirely peaceful with no reported injuries. And again, this is one of the largest student-led protests in our recent history. And the House Speaker of Tennessee's legislature has now equated this protest asking for safe schools with the January 6th insurrection.
So I don't know if you've seen any of the videos over the last week since Thursday of young people flooding the state capital of Tennessee and causing a ruckus, right? Like wanting to be heard as young people to do something. I've seen videos of you know, body chains and state troopers ripping them apart. But it's been a demonstration. It's been peaceful, but it's been a demonstration of huge turnout of young people saying, when is enough enough? And we've seen this before after Marjorie Stoneman Douglas and the big day of action that they had for March for Our Lives. But like, this is not a movement of young people that is going away. And how much outsized, like, I don't think we can actually fathom it, of what it's like and how many school shootings there's been. Like, we had to do bomb threats. And like, there was every once in a while, there was a bomb threat drill. Sure. I never had to do active shooter drills. And now the fact that this is just a regular thing for them. Like, I think the fact that certain politicians think that this can just be ignored is ridiculous. And so there's been this outpouring of support and demonstration in Tennessee. And three of the major supporters of the protest are three democratically elected representatives that hail from Nashville, Memphis, and Knoxville. And here's what happened to them. Yeah, like it was proposed yesterday, and I think it's happening right now. So this is the sound from Justin Jones, who's a representative from Nashville.
So what's going on here in Tennessee today?
So three of us lawmakers who stood with our constituents demanding that they take action, and hear that thousands of people gathered on Thursday talking about the crisis of mass shootings. We've been kicked off our committees as representatives elected by our constituents. Each of us represents 78,000 people, and our people are being silenced because they're kicking us off committees. They're threatening to take a vote to expel us today. Our member ID badges have been shut off. Our representative ID badges have been shut off. And this is not what democracy looks like. You know, we are elected to serve our constituents. And I'm the youngest Democratic lawmaker here, the most diverse district. And by shutting me down, they're shutting down the voice of my constituents. So this is one of my constituents, Ms. Brooks, and so whose family was hit and a victim of the mass shooting. And so we're here to speak for them. And they won't even let us speak for our people. They wouldn't let us talk on the floor. They shut our microphones off. They shut our voting machines off. We couldn't even talk about the issue. And so when we went to the well to force the issue, they called us insurrectionists and are now trying to expel us from the left.
Expel them from the legislature.
So it was a little hard to hear him, but basically, the Tennessee Republican lawmakers took the first steps on Monday, yesterday, to expel the three Democratic members of the obviously GOP dominant House for their role in the recent gun control protest at the state capitol. So this is an extraordinarily rare move. And it's resulted in a chaotic and fiery confrontation between lawmakers and the supporters who are opposing this move, and have, like, it's further fractured an already, like, deep political division inside the Tennessee legislature. Like, the videos coming out of Tennessee right now are wild. Yes. As far as the confrontation that's happening, how many people are in the Capitol trying to protest, not only originally protesting gun control and wanting safer schools and safer communities. But now it's turned into the three representatives who are actually supportive of these young people and what they want done being called insurrectionists. And so it's the resolutions have been filed against Representative Gloria Johnson, Justin Jones, and Justin Pearson after they led chants from the House floor with supporters in the gallery last Thursday. And the resolution declared that the three had participated in, quote, disorderly behavior, and, quote, did so knowingly and intentionally bring disorder and dishonor to the House of Representatives.
That's remarkable, in part because Johnson, who you mentioned is one of these lawmakers, she said she will consider a lawsuit if they get expelled. She also pointed to a list of recent scandals involving lawmakers that did not lead to their expulsion, including former House Speaker under federal indictment, former Representative David Byrd accused of sexually assaulting teenagers when he was a basketball coach. This is a quote from Johnson. We had a child molester on the floor for years. They helped him get reelected and did nothing to expel him. We've had members pee in each other's chairs. We've had members illegally...
What?
We've had members illegally prescribe drugs to their cousin mistress, and nothing happened. But talk on the floor without permission, and you will get expelled. Yeah.
I mean, this is
crazy.
And I don't know what the recourse is, because I think they've moved forward with this. I see from CNN 16 minutes ago, Tennessee House Republicans take steps to remove Democratic lawmakers after they join gun control protests. So I don't know if that's an update since when I was first reading about it this morning, but
isn't a lawsuit?
I don't know with Tennessee law, like if they get expelled, does that mean there's a special election? Is it people that get appointed? Like what happens with those three seats? And so basically in an already completely controlled GOP legislature, is it a situation where the Republican governor can just replace those three Democratic seats with Republican appointments and represent Nashville, Knoxville, Memphis with Republicans?
I don't know. And what about those, 200,000 constituents that those three people represent? They're just going to take this and accept this? Or is a lawsuit the way to go? But like you said, without knowing more of Tennessee law, it's hard to
Tennessee
say.
Tennessee law. And so if you have more information on this, as far as, because I'm trying to think of the implosion in Wisconsin if this were to happen. Like there are some, let's say, outspoken Democratic representatives we know, friends of the show,
sure,
you might say,
sure,
who I could see doing something like this, right? Like I could see them being outspoken on the floor. Some of them have been outspoken on the floor. There's one specifically that I know, I'm pretty sure, cursed on the floor and got some flack for that.
But didn't get expelled.
But did not get expelled. And this is a story that I just, because is this what democracy looks like? How do you call yourself a democracy if this is the power you're exerting over people showing their right of free speech and also trying to get you to actually listen to them as constituents? And so this story needs so much more attention as far as its immediacy and what threat this shows as far as how fragile any of our state democracies actually can be when there is one party rule. All right, we'll be back in a minute. If you have thoughts on this case or if you want to brag about your voting, 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
As Goes Wisconsin. And yes, it is, at least in our neck of the woods, it is raining. What does it look like over there in Waukesha?
It's stopped for right now. It was pouring not too long ago, but it's slowed down. It's just kind of spitting. Little
yes, spitty. That's, I would say, it's the same in Milwaukee currently. But yes, if you can vote, I mean, it is your lunch hour, I would think, right now. So if you can vote on your lunch hour, vote early. Don't wait till later. Don't have to stand in the rain later. Go get it done. Yep. Go get that sticker and text us or tag us in social media at As Goes Wisconsin on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok. And I will be sure, at least after the show, maybe not during the show, but after the show, I will share it and retweet it and boost it in whatever way I can to celebrate you voting. But we would love to hear from you. We want to hear your voting stories of making sure that you voted. Maybe you helped someone vote for the first time. I know I love election day since I started As Goes Wisconsin, because I ultimately get pictures and texts and people tagging me because they want me to know that they voted.
That's wonderful.
And I love it.
That's great. We do have a text from Dave in the Shaw. Thank you, Dave. I voted in downtown Waukesha at 8:45 this morning, like I usually do. Number 93 in the primary a few weeks ago. I was number 42 at the same time, so it looks like a big uptick in turnout.
That is great. And then on the live stream, we have Mayor Anissa Welsh saying that she has voted. And well then Benjamin Zimmerman saying he's voting after the show. Me too. but yes, we would love to continue to hear from you about voting today, helping other people vote. But then after, in the next segment at the bottom of the hour, we are going to take a little bit of a break, a breather from politics and elections, and actually going to talk to Wisconsin's new poet laureate, Nick Gulag, who is an associate professor at he's associate professor at UW-Whitewater, and he's also authored three poetry books. But we're going to talk to him about, what does being a poet laureate actually mean?
What's the job description?
It's a very impressive title.
Yeah, but what is the job description exactly?
Well, I also think I'm excited to ask him because we know that Jane, you don't get poetry. Is that a fair assessment?
If it's too murky, you lose me. But there are some that, you know, I just don't like being confused.
Okay, fair. So in the next segment, we are going to talk to Nick Gulag, who I'm very excited to hear about what being the Wisconsin poet laureate actually means. But for now, as we wrap up, I guess not really wrap up because I don't think this story is over, but the democracy crisis, I would say, is not a far cry from trying to explain what is happening in Tennessee right now.
Absolutely.
As far as the GOP expelling three Democratic lawmakers for speaking out during a anti-gun protest last week after Tennessee saw yet another mass shooting, school shooting, and there was a huge demonstration of young people who showed up at the Capitol, and three of the representatives supported that demonstration. And they are now facing expulsion from the legislature, which is for Tennessee. This has only ever been done with two other House members since the Civil War.
Oh, my.
So it's an incredibly extraordinary action if they actually follow through with this. And it's hard to watch it from afar and think about how many different states have such a strong, one party has such a stronghold. Like, you know, in Wisconsin, for now, we still have a very strong Republican legislature, but at least we have a Democratic governor, right? But in a lot of these states, and granted, a lot of the states, there's Democratic control with both the governor and the legislature. But this is an unbelievable move as far as potentially then not even doing a special election and just being able to appoint new people. And, I mean, on top of that, there's also just the conversations. I mean, Tennessee, obviously, this was also the state that last week one of the representatives just said, well, we're not going to change anything.
Yeah, we're not going to fix it. We're not going to fix it. Yeah.
We're not going to fix it. And I actually respected the fact that he said the quiet part out loud. But then there's another Tennessee state representative who asked protesters what gun they'd prefer to be shot with. And so I think we have a clip of that.
So you're not going to like my answer. And look, I'm going to say that straight up. It's not about this one gun. If there is a firearm out there that you're comfortable being shot with, please show me which one it is.
There's none.
There's not. Right there. Every single gun in the hands of a crazy person, a deranged person, a convicted felon, every single weapon out there.
What are you going to be more scared when somebody's walking on the street with a giant ass gun for no reason? Like, nobody's going to do good with that gun.
I understand that.
The goal is not to.
But it's not. You could ban that specific gun, and you were going to do almost nothing to improve y'all's safety. I'm sorry, that's a fact.
I wish they would just...
Logic.
Well, yeah, and I wish the other part they would say out loud is, I get too much money from the gun lobby. Just admit that. Own it.
But even because his point is basically, well, it doesn't matter what the gun is, whether it's a handgun or an AR-15, a crazy person's going to crazy, like a crazy's going to crazy.
Right.
I think is basically what he was saying. And yet, okay, so red flag laws, universal background checks, other things to try to mitigate people who are unfit to own a firearm from getting a firearm. Can we talk about that if we're not going to talk about banning specifically AR-15s? But we will continue to watch what's happening in Tennessee. But like I said, we are going to take a quick break and a quick breather from politics and talk to Nick Gulig when we come back. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair, and it is election day, and we want to hear from you and see your voting stickers and your voting and hear your voting stories. So you can always text that to us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Or tag us on social media, and I will share it at As Goes Wisconsin. We will share anything that you tag us in that celebrates voting today. But for this segment, we are going to take a little bit of a break and talk about poetry. Maybe it'll soothe our soul a little bit on the high anxiety day otherwise. But Wisconsin has recently appointed a new poet laureate. Nick Gulig is the author of 3 poetry books and is currently an associate professor at UW-Whitewater and is the new Wisconsin poet laureate. And he is here today. Welcome to the show, Nick.
Thanks for having me. Were we just listening to Dolly Parton? Is my ear right there?
You got that right. Well, awesome. Good ear. Yes.
I love her. Sounded like a younger Dolly. Yeah.
We very much stand Dolly on this show. Too. And so and Jane's very good at finding little Easter eggs for the topics at hand and finding the songs that go along with it. So I guess, Nick, to start with, let's start at the beginning. What is a state poet laureate? And besides it being, I think, probably a great honor, what are you tasked with doing?
I'm figuring that out as I go along. And so essentially what that means is like all the descriptions of what the role is are pretty open. They're pretty abstract. I think the role is open enough for different folks to bring to it what they're able to and what they want to bring to it. What it looks like on a day-to-day basis in some ways has a lot to do with what we're doing right now. Just talking with folks about poetry oftentimes, I mean, I don't know what your relationship to the genre is, but oftentimes I'm speaking with folks who don't have at least the intensity of the kind of relationship that I have with the genre that I've been cultivating a relationship with since I was 13 years old or so, right? So I'm speaking with folks for whom poetry is, at least in comparison, somewhat distant or somewhat abstract or somewhat alien. And I'm trying to have conversations with them about what poems are, what they can be, I hate the word use, but that seems to come up a lot in this position, like what use, what utility they might have, which could be something that it's a term I'm resistant towards, but it's not to say that poetry hasn't been useful to me. I've turned to it probably more often than anything else.
So it's not like Nick, Governor Evers calls you on Monday and says, I need 5 haikus about cheese by Friday.
I don't know how I would respond to that, but no, thankfully, yeah.
And
people do like, so I would late last night, about like 10:30 at night, I was still awake because my kids weren't going to bed, and I got an email. This is probably, I think this is my favorite moment in the last two months since I've been poet laureate, I got an email from a guy, I think up north somewhere. Imagining he's probably in his 60s because he was writing on behalf of his wife who was just turning 60. And he emailed me. He's like, hey, I hope I can ask this, but my wife is turning 60 in a month or something like that. And she loves poetry, but I don't understand it at all. And I was wondering if you could recommend a love poem for me that I could give to my wife. She's turning 60 and I want to gather 60 love poems and put them together in a book for her. And I don't know where to start. Like, can you help me? So I spent this morning like writing him back and it was wonderful.
Oh, that's lovely.
Oh, that is a great story. Yeah. I guess, where would you even go? So like for you who studied this and knows it, was that a hard task or did you kind of know where to start?
I knew exactly where I would go. Yeah. I'm married, right? So like I had a poem read at my wedding, maybe obviously, but I think lots of folks have poems read at their weddings, right? Like even folks who don't read poems at any other moment in their life, except maybe like at a funeral, right? Or maybe like when they open the Bible or something like that, there's poems in there. But you know, I had a poem read at my wedding, and I typed that poem out for him and then just talked to him about my wedding and talked to him about that poem and why I chose it and just thanked him for like letting me be a part of this really, really sweet gesture from one person to another. Yeah,
absolutely. We're talking to Nick Gulig, who is Wisconsin's new poet laureate. And, you know, Nick, so you, I think you just referenced that 13 was around the age that you really dove into poetry. I think I read, so you thought at one point you were going to be a hockey player.
I did.
And there was a fork in the road.
There was a fork in the road. I mean, like I think like most boys growing up in Wisconsin, you have your dreams occur through an athletic lens. Mm-hmm. Like whether you like it or not, you know, like you get thrown into sports. And I grew up playing hockey. I loved playing hockey, but I wasn't that good at it. I mean, especially once it became like, I'm Asian. So like, I'm not like a big person. Right. and a sport like that requires you to be a really big person. And it was around that time that the sport was, I was not growing into the sport at the rate that I needed to be, if that makes sense. In the summer before,
you're getting pushed around a little bit.
I was getting pushed around out there on the ice. And summer before high school, I was in a summer hockey camp, you know, planning on playing JV and then varsity and then college, et cetera, et cetera. And I still remember his name, a guy about three times my size named Landon Hermanson. Our knees ran into each other and my knee lost. And I spent that summer holed up in my parents' house on the couch. We didn't have much for cable back then. And I don't know if you remember daytime television in the 90s. It was pretty terrible. So there wasn't much to do. And I just was kind of forced out of a lack of options to read books. And my dad had poetry books on his bookshelf from college, I'm assuming, from college English classes. And I was pulling those books off the shelf and reading them. And there was interesting things happening in those books. And I didn't have anything else to do. And so I think still, even when I see something that interests me, I always want to ask myself, like, well, how can I do that? Or how can I do a version of that? And so I started reading poems and writing poems, and they were all terrible, but that's how it happens.
I would love to know what one of your earliest terrible poems was about.
I don't remember. They were probably about the girl I was dating at that time, but funny, like another funny story is I kept a journal. I was a big journal keeper all through high school, middle school and high school, when the world is full of young love and drama and you're trying to figure things out and you're confused and you're sad and then you're happy, et cetera. And you write everything down in your journal. And I was writing all these really bad poems in my journal. And I kept my journals with me. I brought them with me to college when I went to college in Missoula. And when I left Missoula, when I graduated and left, I accidentally forgot a box of my belongings in the basement of the house that I lived in. And unfortunately, my high school, middle school, and high school journals were in that box.
Oh, all no.
All my roommates found them. And then for like years after that, I would get, just at random moments of the night, I would get text messages of like horrible lines of poetry from my
ruthless.
I know.
So I guess, you know, it's interesting because I think people who are drawn to writing, there's fictional writing and mm-hmm. writing short stories or novels. There's also, mm-hmm. you know, lyrics and writing songs. And so what do you think drives someone who is creative and drawn to the written word to navigate or gravitate, I guess, towards poetry versus other forms of writing? Or is it kind of, you dabble in all of it?
So one of the things that I like to tell my students, and I especially like to tell this, I like to tell this to my students in front of my other colleagues, my prose writing colleagues, and I always tell my students that I think, like, a poem is failing when it's acting like prose, and I think prose is succeeding when it's acting like a poem. And what I mean by that is that, A, that there's not an easy distinction between the two, that I think the best sentences in any novel sing, right? Like, the best sentences have music to them. The best sentences are hard to pin down. It's hard to say exactly what it means. And I think when poems are at their best, they're doing the same thing. I think the main difference between poetry and prose is that poetry puts music, or at least I think the poetry that works the best, puts music first before truth, right? Like, when I'm sitting down to write a poem, I'm not sitting down to say, like, I don't have a clear sense of, here's something that I believe to be the case. I need to find the poem that makes that accessible. I sit down with as empty a head as I can cultivate, and that's actually really hard to do, is cultivate an empty head. And then I'm just finding words that sound right together. And half the time, or more than half the time, I don't even know why they belong together, but they belong together musically, and the poem tells me what I believe as I'm writing it.
Okay. I do think that there's something with that. It's like you said, of like the musicality and the description of poetry mm-hmm. versus, like, for me, I read so much nonfiction and I read so much news, and I can recognize good writing when something is said very, very well. But there's also, like, it's not started with an empty head. Mm-hmm. It is started with, I am trying to make a point, right? And that's so different. And so I guess, as you said, the word you used was use, but as far as the value that poetry brings, and for some people that is, you make a career out of it, like for mm-hmm. you. Yeah. And for some people it feels more abstract. And so as you sell poetry as a valuable piece of our culture, mm-hmm. what does that sell look like or sound like?
I hate the word sell.
I know
exactly what you mean. I wish we had like less. I wish I had more metaphors available for me that weren't tethered to capital. Because I think that's the selling point, or that's the utility. I think one of the things that keeps, this is a double-edged sword. I think one of the things that keeps poetry important is the ways in which it is almost inherently resistant to the kinds of commodification that other art forms are so prone to. Like, you can turn a novel into a $1 billion movie, right? And I think once once money's, I mean, you think about politics all the time. So like, as soon as money's involved, like things get weird really, really quickly. You can't make money writing poems, or very, very, very few people do. And so it's one of those very few activities in which you're doing something for the sake of the thing. And I don't feel like we have very many opportunities like that in this late stage of capitalism.
That is a fair point. That is a fair point. All right, Nick Gulick, this went by so quickly, so we have to let you go, but this was wonderful. I will post all the information, more information to find you in case anyone else would like to get your help for a love poem project. But congratulations on your new post as poet laureate, and thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thanks for the work you do. Appreciate it.
All right, have a great day. It's like a good prank, and you'll be back in a minute. And life's like poetry. And in my poem, babe, until now, there's always been a missing line. La-di-dee-da-da.
Oh. What's happening, yeah? You're face to face with greatness, and it's strange. You don't even know how you feel. It's adorable. Well, it's nice to see that humans never change. Open your eyes, let's begin. Yes, it's really me, it's Maui. Breathe it in.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. It is raining. It is election day. It is Trump indictment day. It is a big day in general. And I don't know about you, Jane, but I could you use a drink already?
I could absolutely. Probably several. I would say,
but we won't. We'll wait until later.
We got to wait until after 8 o'clock because we're going to be on the air tonight from 7 to 8.
Yes, and so if you are looking for where to get your coverage of the results of Wisconsin's big election day, when all eyes are on us, look no further than Civic Media, because we are doing a special broadcast. Starting with a special elongated Devil's Advocates. They will be on beyond their usual four to six time. They, Dom and Crute will be on till 7. Then they will pass it off to Jane and I in our special primetime hour of coverage. As the polls close, we will remind you again and again, because I'm sure a lot of people who are standing in line are also streaming us on the Civic Media app.
Without a doubt.
While they stand in line. What else would you do? But we will be talking to Barry Burton from UW-Madison, who is a political science professor, about the strategy behind these three statewide questions, and also just in general, why the motivation behind putting referendums binding or advisory on ballots. Then after that, we're going to be talking to Patrick Marley at 7:30, longtime Wisconsin reporter, political reporter for Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He now works for Washington Post and has been for the last year. But that will be, I'm very excited to do that with you, Jane.
Yeah, me too.
So you can listen to that. And then Terry Bell will take over as anchoring all the results as they come in. And we have correspondents across the state who are going to be giving you updates on the mayor's race. The mayor's races, I should say, on Senate District 8, on the ballot referendums, everything beyond and in addition to the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. And I don't know about you, Jane, but as I check social media, because I am addicted, in between on the commercial breaks, people are saying the lines are long.
Good. Good.
And that, you know, and people reporting back in the comment section of the different things I've posted for today, saying how much higher their number is at their polling station than it typically is in the past, what lines look like. And so, like I said, turnout is a major storyline that people will be watching to see how motivated people really were to get out and vote today, which you should be motivated to get out and vote today. And let us know if you already voted. You can text us, 844-967-2789. You can leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. You can also add us on social media, and I will share anything you share celebrating. Show us that you voted at As Goes Wisconsin on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. And
we have a We have a text from the 262. You two should sponsor a drinking game from 7 to 8 p.m. tonight. Every time you hear the words Crucial Waukesha County, you get to drink.
All right. It is crucial. I think Waukesha is always, all the suburbs of Milwaukee are so fascinating to watch now. As far as the last couple elections, as we've seen them become bluer. You know, and I think especially, I think Waukesha County was very much in favor of Jennifer Doro. And it'll be interesting in the same way that the split between Rebecca Clayfish and Tim Michaels. And then, like, the suburbs really did not show out for Tim Michaels in the fall last year.
No,
and so
didn't.
It'll be interesting to see if we see a similar trend as tonight's roll in. From Josh Egan on the YouTube live stream, Greenfield was busy, but no line at about 10 a.m. this morning.
Well, a lot of people are at work, you know. People are at work.
So, but just a quick aside as far as something that I am irrationally excited for. It sounds like it's true. But out of all the Disney lives, Jane, how many have you seen many of them? Like the Disney lives live actions, or they've made Aladdin into a live action movie with Will Smith, and they've made Lion King, and obviously we're all waiting for The Little Mermaid, and kind of just taking a movie and putting actual actors in it.
I think I've seen,
without having to come up with an original idea.
I think I've seen two.
Which ones have you seen?
Beauty and the Beast.
Okay, I saw that one
with Hermione, Emma Watson. Emma Watson, and I think I saw Aladdin.
I still don't think I've seen Aladdin. I've not seen a blue Will Smith. But would you go see a live action Moana starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
Absolutely. Oh, that would be so fantastic.
So Johnson announced the project during Disney's shareholder meeting, and it sounds like this is happening. He plans to return to the role of Maui, the grandiose demigod of the wind and sea, and he will produce via his Seven Bucks Productions, along with Danny Garcia and Hiram Garcia. And it sounds like it's a go. And it sounds like the guy who wrote the screenplay is going to write this script, and there's no director involved at this stage, but I have to say, I think that would be, because sometimes although that's not true, because if I think about Moana, there actually is a lot of like mysticism under the sea. There would still be a ton of CGI.
Oh,
but there is also, but he truly does look like the character he played. And so that is super fun. It would probably be, I can't imagine what the international casting call will look like to try to find Moana.
Oh man.
But the music for that movie is so good. I'm just trying to think of how colorful and fun a live action version of this movie would be. There would be no racial conflict because I'm pretty sure they would cast a Polynesian young woman and just
for
like
the role.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson is also Polynesian. But yeah, I think I'm all on board for this.
No, I think it'll be wonderful. The man can actually sing.
The man is an entertainer.
He is an entertainer. And I think that's a tremendous idea. I think it'll be a huge, we predict this will be an enormous hit.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
This will be movie of 2026. Sure. I don't know. I don't know how long it will take to make this movie or for it to come and hit theaters. But either way, that is a very fun announcement that I thought the world should know and get some more attention towards. And maybe go listen to the Moana soundtrack as you are quelling your nerves for the rest of the day. All right, we got one more hour of As Goes Wisconsin. When we come back, the No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour. The first half, we're going to talk about that MTG interview that was not so fun. But we'll be back in just a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
For the islands are pulled from the sea. There's no need to pray, it's okay. You're welcome. I guess it's just my way of being me. You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.